My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Oh, yeah. On your home for the best Ravens coverage.
What time is that?
It's time for News from the Nest with Vinny and Haney. 1057 The Fan.
Do we really need to get into all that specifically? Okay, I appreciate that. He'll be fine. He'll be okay. He'll be fine. He's trying to get himself out there and as much as he can, and he'll be out there soon.
Vinny and Haney back on 1057 The Fan, getting you some news from the Nest. Cordell Woodland filling in for Bob Haney here with Vinny Serrato. Quick Draw McGraw behind the glass. You just heard from John Harbaugh there, talking about Rashad Bateman, who only took the one one-on-one rep yesterday, did some individual work. John obviously didn't want to get very much into it. But the reality is, people are going to have questions when it comes to Bateman every time he deals with an injury. And I get it. He's trying to fight through it and he's trying to tough it out in practice yesterday, and it didn't necessarily work out. But people are going to have questions every time something happens with Bateman right now, because it's a continuous thing.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And, you know, he's been talked about so much, and he was making some great plays, and then he's been out for a week, and then he came, you know, I mean, he's back for a couple periods, and then he was out. So, I mean, it's all those reporters, they're going to ask. They got to ask.
Right.
So, I mean, you know, it's Harb's, like, yesterday was the happy-go-lucky mood, you know, because all the injury news was good news. And, you know, when Bateman gets knocked, you know, a little bit, then, you know, he kind of ruffled his feathers a little bit. I'm guessing that they thought he was going to be back ready to go yesterday. Now it's going to be more of an extended time. I'm guessing that's what the trainers probably told Harbs. I don't, you know, that's what I'm guessing.
I mean, it could be. We don't know, you know, if yesterday counts as a setback or anything like that. If he re-injured, who knows what the case is.
No.
But, yeah, I think everybody just wants to see Bateman out there. I mean, like you said, they talked him up a lot this year. And it's, I don't think his play has been the problem. It's been two things that have been the problem. It's health status and being able to get this, continue to build the chemistry with his quarterback. Those are the two issues. And when he's not out there, it's usually because he's hurt. And the counter effect is he can't build the chemistry with his quarterback.
Yeah. And it looked like it was coming.
Yeah.
That's the sad part, is it looks like it was coming. And Cordell, I don't know. Maybe, I mean, you've seen him a lot out there too. Do you think he's too skinny?
I mean, I don't know if that's necessary. I mean, everything's going to get called into question when you continuously have injuries pop up like this. And he's on record for saying, you know, he hasn't dealt with this before until he came to the NFL. So maybe, but I don't know if he's a guy that's all of a sudden is going to bulk up. You know, I think his body frame is kind of is what it is right now.
Well, during COVID, he kind of bulked up, and he was much slower, and so maybe he didn't like that feeling. But I mean, the way he moves in and out, his body control is spectacular. I mean, all that stuff is good.
He moves skinny. He's slender. He can get in and out, you know?
Yeah, and you know what? I mean, he just happened to fall on a ball with three guys. I mean, it's kind of a bad break that sucks.
Let's hear more from John Harbaugh. We've talked about our Darius Washington being somebody that they've shown that they've liked over the last few years. Here he is talking about what our Darius brings to the defense.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. Our Darius and I had a conversation today in my office, and it was a good one. It wasn't called to the principal's office. It was just to kind of talk about his vision for the season and what he thought he could accomplish. And he's playing at a high level. You saw it today. He's playing both safety positions. He's playing the nickel. And he could play the corner outside if he had to. He'd get you out of a game, and he could go in a dime if he had to. He knows the defense that well. His style is pretty much patented. That's his style, the way he plays. And I think it's a style worthy of emulating. So very glad he's on our team.
Yeah, I mean, he's not going anywhere.
No.
He does too much. You heard it right there. I mean, he's learning both safety spots. He's been in the nickel. He can play in the dime. I'm not necessarily buying he can play outside, but definitely, he can play multiple positions for them on the defense.
Yep, no doubt about it. And I mean, just listening to Harbs there, yeah, he's one of 53.
Mm-hmm. No doubt. And injuries have been his issue. That's been his Achilles heel, for lack of better terms. And I think our Darius can play. I just think, and I'm usually a guy that fights for the little guy. You know, I respect Harbs and them for looking beyond his size and continuously giving him opportunities. I just think his injury status ends up taking him off the field itself. It's never usually his play, even though he is a mismatch back there at times.
And that's what I see all the time in practice. I see Mark Andrews catching a ball and Washington's right there.
Mm-hmm.
And I see it all the time. He's in good position, but he just, like you said, he's just small. So I'm guessing that, you know, with Millett being out for a little bit, he'll probably get some of that stuff.
I think he's going to play. Yeah. Let's hear one more from John Harbaugh. We talked about Kadir Ishmael being impressive to this point in training camp. Here's Harbs talking about him.
He's kind of a surprise as a blocker, and the physicality of it. You saw it out there today. He's definitely a player, NFL player and coach's kid. I mean, he's tough. He's not afraid. He throws it in there and plays bigger than his size. And, you know, I think he's doing a good job.
Now, it's tough for him to play bigger than his size. He's 6'6". He's a big guy.
But
maybe not the most
weight-wise. What is he, 220?
I got to look at the sheet. But he's not, you know, he's not the most filled out guy out there. He definitely is a fighter. I've seen him in some of his pass protections. He definitely will go out there and block. Yeah, that's not small. That's not terribly small. But watching him, he's not the biggest weight guy. But I like the way he moves. Mm-hmm. I think he's got good hands. If he can show himself to be a blocker, that really be his way in. Because as we said earlier, that's what they need right now. I don't know if he's going to be really putting any pressure on a Charlie Kohler for his spot or anything like that. But I like what he gives them. I think, you know, he could be a fringe practice squad type of guy.
Well, I would definitely put him on the practice squad and get him in the weight room and stuff and bulk him up. I mean, if it's true, I haven't really watched him block a lot, you know, in line stuff. Because the old line, they've been going inside all the time. So I don't know. He's a high school quarterback and a wide receiver. Inline blocking, it's usually not that combination.
Usually not.
No.
But
I got to see it to believe it, because he's got like a narrow frame.
Mm-hmm.
So he's not a big, thick brute like a Mark Andrews type guy. But they don't, Charlie Kohler weighs 267, but he blocks like he weighs 230.
Yeah. Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see what they do with him.
Yeah, I think he definitely has some game. I've seen him block. He's had a couple of nice blocks in some of the team drills and some of the 11-on-11 stuff. I've seen him pick up a couple of rushers. But, yeah, I definitely think there's something there that maybe they want to explore and try to tap into in the future. Let's switch gears. Let's go to Kyle Van Noy, veteran pass rusher. Here he is talking about the growth he sees in the young edge rushers.
I would just say confidence is the main thing that I've seen. The confidence to really know their job, and then the confidence of making plays and being able to feed off one and stacking another. And, you know, that's just not only confidence, but confidence a practice, and then putting a week and putting a preseason game. And you're going to see it this next this whole week. We've seen progression, but then you'll see it in this next game, the progression of just that confidence. I really think it's going to continue to show each and every game.
We talked about the confidence in the Dafe Owe recently,
doubt.
You know,
no
just
doubt.
In terms of how he's playing. He looks like a confident player right now. I definitely think the confidence is there, even in some of the other guys. I think Tavius Robinson plays confidently at times. He may not do everything you want him to do, but I actually think Tavius is going to be somebody that can help them. Maybe not in the pass rush department.
Oh, in a run game.
But in the run game,
no doubt.
I like what I see from Tavius. He's a big body guy. I'm trying to think of some of the other young pass rush. I guess some of the interior guys would fall in there. Travis Jones and Matt Abike is still a young guy as well. Isaac, who we're just starting to I want to continue to see more of him.
I want to see him in the game Saturday. I think that'll be
He's a big dude.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a well-built guy. You know, and I'll be anxious to see how he looks in that game.
Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll play a little buy or sell. We'll check in on the stock market, answer some questions in the world of sports. That's next here on The Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Are you buying?
Great cash, homie.
Or are you selling?
I'm not going to buy into that crap.
Benny and Haney, 1057, The Fan.
Benny and Haney back on 1057, The Fan. Cordell Woodland here for Bob Haney, here with Vinny Serrato, Quick Draw McGraw behind the glass. Coming up at 12:30, we'll be talking some baseball with Bobby Blanco. He works at Madison for the Washington Nationals, Orioles, and the Nats. They're squaring off for the next 2 days here in Baltimore, so we'll talk about that series with Bobby next. Right now, let's check in on the stock market.
Yeah, the Dow's up 278. So, I mean, they've made up all of that they lost, Cordell. They've made that back. The S&P's up 67. NASDAQ is up 321. How about DraftKings up $1.15, $31. Under Armour's up 28 cents. Under Armour's made it. Whatever they're doing, their stock is up 787.
All right, let's start here in Major League Baseball, where Aaron Judge, no real disputing it, he's the league's best power hitter right now with 42 homers on the season. He's also on pace to lead the league in intentional walks. That's 13 of those on the year, and that's a number that's been growing fast recently. Their recent series, the Yankees against the Blue Jays, well, Toronto didn't want any part of Aaron Judge. Intentionally walked him four times in the span of three games. Then the Rangers and Angels followed suit in their series against the Yankees. So six intentional walks in the span of eight games. How will Aaron Boone try to remedy this? Why not swap Judge and Juan Soto in the lineup so there's more of an imposing threat behind Aaron Judge? Well, Boone says that's a consideration, but he doesn't feel it to be necessary right now. Cordell, buy or sell, making no lineup adjustments is foolish on Boone's part.
Yeah, I'd buy it. You know, Judge, I can understand why he's not in a rush to do it, because I do think, despite all the intentional walks, Judge is still able to leave his fingerprint on the game offensively more times than not. But yeah, this would kind of be a nice quick fix to get around that. If you walk Judge and Soto's come, that's at least one guy on the base right now. You're going to have to think about it a little more than you do right now. So yeah, I'm a little surprised that he's just brushing it off the way that he is.
And a little more context there. So 13 on the year, only twice has he come around to score after an intentional walk. Okay. So teams may be catching on here.
Yeah.
Well, big news yesterday in the NFL, Hassan Reddick, the contract dispute between him and the Jets, it took another turn where he flat out requested a trade. Yes, you heard that right, requesting a trade just a few months removed from being traded by the Eagles to the Jets in the first place. New York was probably anticipating this because they had their response locked and loaded, almost instantly putting it out as soon as the trade request came in, saying that we're not trading you, we expect you back in camp, or else you're going to keep racking up those daily $50,000 fines. Holding out for players in the NFL, it works, but it's not 100% successful. Just last year, fellow pass rusher Chris Jones went through something similar and even missed a regular season game before a deal was finished. Buy or sell, Vinny, the Reddick holdout will last into the regular season as well.
Whoa, I'm gonna sell it. Just because Reddick's losing too much money. And you got to pay those fines. They can't be forgiven. So I think that he'll come in. I don't know what he's trying to do, because they're not going to trade. They're going to make him just sit there. And I'm sure that, you know, what happens is you get pissed. And then you just say, screw this guy. We're going to, you know, teach him a little lesson, unless he comes in. Because that's what they told him. You want a new deal? You come into camp and then we'll talk. But he won't come in. So then they're not talking.
There just seems to be a lot of conflicting reports.
Yes.
That his camp says that it was discussed when he got there that, hey, we've got a long-term deal coming for you. And the Jets said, well, no, that wasn't part of the deal. So it's, you know, who's telling the truth here?
Well, agents are good at, you know, like, I don't know who his agent is, but they have their media people that they're going to leak their stuff out to get their side out there probably first. And then the Jets are got to respond, you know, defensively to what the agent gives to the Adam Schefters or whoever, and then it becomes a national thing. So I think that the Jets are going to stand firm.
We'll move over here, a little basketball, wrapping up with the Olympics. It's close for comfort at times, but the U.S. men's basketball team did bring home the gold yet again. LeBron James was awarded MVP, an award that is kind of strange history in the Olympics. It was there for a while, then disappeared for a couple Olympics, came back last go-around. Mm-hmm. LeBron wins it this time. He was consistent throughout the six-game slate, averaging 14.2 points per game, shot 66% from the field. However, where would Team USA be without Steph Curry and his monster performances in the semifinals and the medal game? Despite the slow start he had, he ended up averaging more points per game than James did. And again, the huge performances in their last two games. Buy or sell, Cordell, Steph Curry should have won MVP.
I'll sell it. I thought Steph was excellent for them in the last two games where they needed him. But in those games inflated his average numbers. I mean, because he was able to go out there and go, what, one of the games he had almost 40.
36.
And he had 8 threes in one game, 9 threes in another. I mean, Bron was there every game. Even in the finals game, the first half, Bron was the one that was kind of keeping them afloat offensively early in that game. I don't know where Team USA would have been if it wasn't for LeBron early in that tournament. So, all in as a whole for the entire tournament, yeah, I had no problem with LeBron being there.
Plus,
being
LeBron, the MVP. Like against Germany and some of those others where they were down and everything, he pretty much brought them back.
And he knows when to, as great as Bron is, he knows when to let other guys take off. It was times where Anthony Edwards took over and he's there watching. It was times where Kevin Durant took over and he's watching. Same with Steph Curry. So, you know, I don't think it's a situation where Bron couldn't do it. He did it when they needed him, and when they didn't and somebody else was hot, he rode the hot hand.
Right. I mean, 66% from the field. That's,
he can score whenever he wants.
Yeah. How about a little college football? The AP preseason top 25, it arrived yesterday. A few observations to make. Georgia's your number one, but far from consensus, as Ohio State received 15 first-place votes and Oregon got one first-place vote. That's now two teams from your new-look Big Ten that are in the top three, six from the Big Ten in the top 25. Also, in others receiving votes, Washington, Nebraska, and Wisconsin. So a lot of Big Ten representation here, Vinny. Buy or sell, more than six teams from the Big Ten will be in the final AP Top 25.
In the final AP Top 25. They got to play each other, which kind of six teams in the Top 25. I'm going to sell it. I'm just going to say that they're going to kind of beat each other up.
Probably the most likely outcome there. Let's see. Now that I think about it, we'll close things out with this. In the NBA, Kevin Durant, he's fresh off yet another Olympic gold medal, but admitted that he's contemplating retirement at this point of his career. Shouldn't really be surprising. He's 35 years old. The injury issues very well documented in recent history. This past season is actually the first time he's come close to playing a full slate since 2018 and 2019 that year. 2 years remaining on his current contract with Phoenix, but as we know, he's not afraid to jump ship and chase a ring anywhere he sees fit. Buy or sell, Cordell, Durant has one more team change in him before he calls it a career.
One more team change in him. I'll buy that. I'll soft buy it. It wouldn't shock me if Phoenix at some point kind of throws in the towel on this whole experiment and trades Durant maybe on the last year of his deal, and maybe he goes somewhere else and tries to win there. I don't know how much longer Durant's going to play. He's another one still at this stage of his career, despite all the injuries and the age. The game still is very easy for him. He's another one. If he gets to a spot, he can score whenever he wants. But yeah, I think Durant's going to be one of those guys that when he retires, he's retiring because he's ready to be done with it. I don't think he's going to let the injuries or anything retire him. It just seems like he's the type of guy that's going to want to go out on his own terms. Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll be joined by Bobby Blanco from Masson. Talk some Orioles and Nats with him, with the Nats being in town for the next 2 days. Remember, Baltimore Baseball Tonight with Tim Barbalace and Ryan Ripken gets underway from Pickles at 5:30 right here on The Fan. We'll talk some baseball with Bobby Blanco next here on The Fan. Orioles and Nats, they get underway tonight at 6:35 out at Camden Yards. First of a two-game set against the Nationals. Perfect time to bring in Bobby Blanco from Masson. He covers the Nationals. What's going on, Bobby?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
Not much. Appreciate your time this afternoon. And the Nats, are they, you know, they've been one of the more surprising teams this year. Obviously, still an uphill battle to make the postseason or make any real noise. But they have had a better season than I think a lot of people expected them to have, with them having such a young team, a lot of roster turnover over the last couple of years. What's been the biggest surprise for you with this year's team?
Yeah, I think that for the Nationals, they're definitely, you know, a little ahead of schedule. I think that some people thought in terms of this rebuild they're going through. They won 71 games last year. They're on pace to surpass that already this year. They were in a, you know, surprisingly, a wild card spot earlier in the year. I mean, very early on in the season, but still it was, you know, something that wasn't to be expected of them to be kind of in the mix of it this late in the season. So, you know, I think one of the big things for them is some of the young players coming up. Of course, James Wood, the top prospect in baseball, has helped a lot. He's become a big bat in their lineup. You know, being able to spray the ball all over the field, hit for extra bases, hit a couple of home runs. That's something that the team has sorely missed. And then you have guys like Luis Garcia Jr., who's having really strong seasons. C.J. Abrams, you know, he was banged up a little bit over the weekend, but him coming back, he had, you know, was a representative in the All-Star game, so he had an All-Star type season, or is in the middle of one. So, you know, a lot of their young guys have contributed to this solid year for them. And like you said, I mean, there's still a ways to go. You know, they're not going to finish above 500, I don't think. I mean, they can probably get close, but you know, they are on pace right now to finish better than they did last year, and that's a good thing. They're taking baby steps towards back to competitiveness. So hopefully next year is the year that they're looking at, okay, at this time next year they can maybe make a push for October.
Now, how do you see the matchup for the next two games?
Yeah, I think this is a very interesting matchup between these two. Obviously, you know, local rivals, they know each other pretty well. I think, you know, tonight's a very interesting matchup on the mound because you have Jake Irvin going for the Nationals, who's been their best pitcher overall this season. He has been in a little bit of a funk over his last six starts, pitching to an ERA above six in those outings. He's been hit by the long ball a couple of times, which, you know, is always a concern. He was doing really well early in the year, keeping the ball in the yard. And so, you know, I guess as the weather's gotten warmer, the ball is kind of flying more on him. But, I mean, they always have Trevor Rogers going, and the Nats know him very well from his time in Miami. I think he's made 10 career starts against them over when he was with the Marlins. And so a lot of these guys are familiar with him. I know he struggled in his first two starts with the O's. But, you know, I'll be interested to see how the Nats kind of attack him because they have a good file on him. And, you know, vice versa, too. Obviously, he knows these hitters well, too. So he'll know how to attack them, how he's going to want to attack them. I think that's a pretty good matchup tonight. And then tomorrow, you know, DJ Hers is a lefty. A young lefty, only reached AAA for the first time this year before he got called up. He's got really good electric stuff, can get high strikeout numbers, but can be a little wild, can walk a lot of guys, susceptible to some loud outs, some hard contact. So I'll be interested to see how the O's batters handle him tomorrow night in this two-game set. And it is always fun when these two teams get together, so I'm looking forward to the atmosphere at Camden Yards tonight and tomorrow.
We're talking to Bobby Blanco from Masson. It's Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan. And Bobby, a guy that won't be pitching in this series, Patrick Corbin. And he was a big part of that World Series run a few years back with the Nationals, kind of coming out of the bullpen for them late in those games. And obviously since that year, it's been a big-time struggle for Corbin as a starting pitcher. What has been the biggest issue for him? I know he's up there in age at this point, but it's been kind of a steady decline.
It has been, and, you know, this contract that he signed with the Nationals has just not gone the way that either party wanted to. I mean, he signed a six-year, $140 million deal right before that 2019 season, and he was fantastic in that rotation that featured Max Scherzer and Steven Strasburg, you know, kind of the height of their powers as well. So, and then, like you mentioned, he was fantastic for them in the postseason, pitching out of the bullpen. He was the winning pitcher in Game 7 of the World Series that year, gave them three solid innings out of the pen. And ever since then, it's been kind of a really steady decline. You know, it is kind of hard to quantify. I mean, we can quantify it because the numbers are bad, but, like, kind of pinpoint what exactly has been going wrong for him. You know, he relies so heavily on his sinker and slider, and when he elevates those and leaves them high up in the zone, I mean, they just get smacked around the field. So that's been a big thing for him. He's been trying to maybe lay off some of the velocity a little bit to kind of keep hitters on their toes. But, yeah, this is the last year under contract for him. We're kind of counting down the last starts he's going to make in a Nationals uniform. He's probably got, you know, 6 or 8 left in this season before both parties kind of separate and move on from this. And, you know, I think he deserves all the credit in the world for, you know, leading that team or helping that team win a world championship back in 2019. But I don't think anyone's going to look back fondly on how the other 5 years of that 6-year deal went, because it has been he has statistically been one of, if not the worst pitcher in all of baseball over these past 5 seasons.
Now, Bobby, you mentioned James Wood, number one overall prospect. When he was called up a few weeks back, maybe a couple months back, time is just flying, but he seems to have no problem playing at this level. The power has picked up for him over the last couple of weeks. What's impressed you about him?
Yeah, I mean, he is just an impressive specimen. When Nats fans see him, I mean, when some Orioles fans see him, they might recognize him because he's a local guy. He grew up in Rockville, Olney area in Montgomery County. You know, started his high school career at St. John's in D.C. So, you know, some of those fans might be familiar, but he is just a specimen, 6'7", you know, well over 200 pounds, big kid. But the way he kind of commands the strike zone has been very impressive so far. I think the Nationals' patience with him this season is definitely paying off. I think a lot of fans wanted to see him up earlier in the year than he actually debuted. He had a hamstring injury that kind of sidelined him for a bit in June, which delayed his debut until July 1st. But I think the Nationals practice extreme patience with him, especially after the injury. And that's paying off because he seems to have a really good grasp of the strike zone. I mean, he had terrible strikeout numbers last year. He was striking out so much at just Double A last year, and they really tasked him with, you know, getting better at knowing your pitch, not swinging that stuff out of the zone, making contact. And he's done a fantastic job of improving in that area this year. And then when he makes contact, it is loud, it is fast. I mean, his exit velos are some of the top in the league, even going all the way back into when he was in AAA. I mean, he was hitting exit velos at the same rate as, like, Aaron Judge was. So, you know, he makes hard, loud contact when he puts the ball in play. Funny enough, he actually has not hit. He's a left-handed hitter, has not pulled a ball for a home run yet. All of his home runs have gone the opposite way. He's going to have a tough time doing that this week at Camden Yards with that wall pushback, but I'll be interested to see if he can finally pull one and maybe land one on the flat court or Utah Street out in right field at Camden Yards. So that'll be fun to watch this week.
Bobby, you mentioned earlier this Nationals team is kind of a little bit ahead of schedule. And here in Baltimore, I think Orioles fans kind of understand what that looks like, just kind of coming out of the rebuild over the last couple of years. What do you think the Nationals need this offseason to take that next step?
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's really easy to compare these two teams. Of course, I grew up in the area and now working at Matson, you know, I kind of have my hand in, you know, watching both of these clubs. So it has kind of been neat to watch the Nationals follow the footprint that the O's kind of laid out for them in terms of getting back into competitive. And that's been building through the draft, adding prospects through trades, trading off major leaguers. And they've done a really good job in that prospect. I mean, I think the Orioles still have, of course, the number one farm system in baseball, but the Nats are now a top 5 farm system after this year's trade deadline and draft class. So that's impressive to see. So they have guys coming up. I think the holes they need to fill going into next year, they need a true first baseman. They don't really haven't really had one since Ryan Zimmerman retired. Mm-hmm. So they need a power bat at first base and maybe someone to take over the full-time designated hitter spot. Because this team just lacks power so much. I mean, I talked about how James has added some. It hasn't been a whole lot. He's only hit 4 home runs so far this season. But this team is one of the worst teams in baseball in terms of hitting the long ball. So they really need to add some power to this lineup next year, get a full-time first baseman, maybe add, you know, with Patrick Corbin departing, maybe add a veteran starter to this rotation because they are very young. Guys like Jake Irvin, DJ Hurst, Mackenzie Gore, Mitchell Parker. They're going to have Josiah Gray missing all of next year after Tommy John surgery. But those are a young core of starting pitchers. I think they probably would like to add a veteran guy that can eat innings for them, you know, maybe even be the eighth of the staff while the rest of those guys still kind of develop at the major league level. I think those are the two biggest spots that they need to fill. Every team's going to need bullpen help. They're going to need to add to their bullpen as well, but they have their closer since they kept Kyle Finnegan at the trade deadline. But, yeah, a power-hitting first baseman and a veteran starting pitcher, I think, is what they're going to need to add through free agency or through trades this offseason, because they do have other guys coming up, you know, their own homegrown guys, but they play other positions. They don't really fill those needs just yet.
Bobby, great stuff, man. Really appreciate your time this afternoon. I'm sure we'll cross paths at some point over these next couple of days. But good luck tonight and tomorrow against the Orioles.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys. Enjoy the game.
Yep. Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll get back to the Ravens talk. We're seeing a lot of starters play in these preseason games. Lamar hasn't played in a preseason game in a very long time. Should he play in one of these last two games? We'll talk about it next here on The Fan. At 1 o'clock, we'll get you some NFL lunch. A lot going on around the NFL today. Some injury news, some other updates pertaining to some teams as well. So we'll get to all that and more at 1 o'clock. Right now, we're talking some Ravens, and Ravens had their first preseason game this past Friday. They played the Falcons on Saturday at noon, Vinny, and we haven't seen the starters, the main starters, play a lot in the preseason over the last few years. I can't remember. I think the last time Lamar Jackson played in the preseason, was it 20? Was it 19 or 20? Somewhere in that range. I think it was maybe the game that J.K. had got hurt in against the Commanders might have been the last time Lamar had played in the preseason. But we're seeing starters, starting quarterbacks, all the way up to Patrick Mahomes play in the preseason right now. Do you think Lamar needs preseason reps?
Nope. Let me just say, it would be great, too, but I can't put him out there with that offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
That's the biggest thing, because I can't trust that. Would I like for Andrews and Flowers and everybody, if I had an offensive line that I know could protect? Sure, I would play him, but he'd be running around too much. So there's no way. And I think those offensive line, they're gonna. Other than Ronnie, and Ronnie needs some work, but, I mean, you can't take a chance of him getting hurt. I think Falele and Rosengarten and Voorhees, hey, play a half or more.
So is it just that you don't trust the offensive line as to why you don't want to put him out there?
Yep.
Okay.
That's the biggest thing, that I do not trust the offensive line with
your franchise at this point.
No. I mean... You know, I mean, they turn a free blitzer loose or something, and he's been hurt twice in the pocket, Cordell.
Right.
So I'm not gonna risk reward. It's not worth the reward. You know.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of right there with you. I don't need to see Lamar in the regular season, and I mean in the preseason, I should say. And I think the thing that he has going for him is the fact that he's been so good in September these last few seasons without any preseason reps. He comes out of the gates firing. So that's the positive. Now, if it was different and he takes a month of the regular season to get going, then maybe I would feel differently. But that combined with the lack of trust in the offensive line. And really, when you look at some of these starters beyond Lamar, you mentioned Ronnie Stanley, even Mark Andrews in there as well. I mean, a lot of these guys have injury concerns about them that you really just don't trust putting them out there, because some of these, I mean, Mark is coming back off of a pretty much a lost year last year with all the injuries and stuff. We saw what Ronnie dealt with last year. I think that plays a big part in it as well.
Well, let me ask you this, Cordell. Who would you play of the starters, you know, offensively or defensively? Is there anybody that you would play offensively? Yeah, I mean, the O-line guys, forget
that. Yeah, outside of them, I wouldn't mind playing Zay for a series or two.
Not without Lamar, I'm
I mean, not with Lamar. Yeah, I mean, if we're talking about Saturday, then, yeah, I mean,
I play likely. I label him as kind of a starter right now. That's probably about it offensively, honestly, right now, where it stands.
Likely you want to play him. Why?
Just
with,
so
with
he
Josh
can.
Josh Johnson and everybody.
I mean, it at least gives you a chance if to. I would say A, to properly evaluate your quarterback, because now it's at least a sure bona fide guy out there that they can get the ball to. And I'm not calling plays to get likely the ball four times on that series or anything like that. It's mostly just to get him some run too. I mean, because he's going to be split in time at times, and at times he's going to be on the field with Mark Andrews as well. But it's really just to get him a taste of something going into the season. I'm not pressed to do it though. Defensively,
Simpson,
I probably
playing
more.
Playing Simpson.
Yeah, I'll play Simpson.
Travis Jones.
I'll play Travis Jones. I'll play. I wouldn't mind seeing Owe out there.
I'd give him a couple third downs.
Right.
You know that, Cordell? I'd give him. I'd just play him like in some passing situations and.
To get a taste of the end game, we've seen them dominate in practice. All right, now go out there and do the same thing against their backups. He's probably going up against a backup tackle, a backup quarterback. Go ahead and continue to just feed the beast. Build his confidence right now. We said Trenton Simpson. I mean, obviously, I'm not playing Roquan.
No.
Not playing Van Noy. DB-wise... I mean, starter wise, there's not many left. I mean, we obviously aren't playing Marlon.
No, Stevens. I
have no reason to play Stevens. I wouldn't lose any sleep if I had to put him out there for a series. But I'm not really. I can't find a true reason to put Stevens out there. Obviously, you're not playing either of the safeties either. So, yeah, I mean, that's what defense is different. Defense is a little different for me because these are guys that are, it's their job to get involved in the contact. You offensively, you can hide some of your starters at times. You can get them out there and call certain plays to make sure that they don't get touched. Defensively, they have to go make contact.
Yeah, I agree with you. I'm, you know, Wiggins won't play.
No.
So it's kind of pretty obvious who's playing. I mean, but like if I had a solid, like if Ronnie was like the Pro Bowler, mm-hmm. and Lindebaum was practicing, and then the other guys, Falele and Rosen, whoever, they were second year starters or whatever. Yeah, I'll give Lamar some, mm-hmm. but not what I see at practice and in
this game. Right now.
New.
Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll get you some NFL lunch. We'll check in on some of these injuries going on. One rookie quarterback already needs surgery. We'll talk about that and more next here on The Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.